Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
I'm here with William Kelly, and we're talking about his story. I'm the narrator. Well, he's the narrator. I'm just the interviewer. My name is Timothy Wand. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Kelly.
Good to meet you.
When and where were you born?
I was born in southern Missouri, down a little town in Howell County, near Willow Springs, out on a farm.
Okay. And where did you grow up?
I grew up on a farm about 50 miles from where I was born. I spent my entire young life there up to when I was 19.
And that was close to Seymour, Missouri?
Yes. Webster County.
Yes. What was it like there? It was a farm.
It was a farm. It was pretty desolate to start with because it was, the fences were rail fences and no woven wire or anything like that. I don't know just what you'd call it. What was it like? It was kind of desolate.
Yes. And you had to carve a farm out of that.
Yes.
And who were your parents?
My parents were Charles Kelly, my father, and my mother was Alma Grace. Alma Grace.
Osborne.
Osborne, yes.
And what were your parents like?
My father was all business. All business. My mother was pretty happy-go-lucky. She wasn't serious at times, but she had a lot of wit.
Okay. And what was your relationship like with your parents?
It was, you had to know who was boss. My father was boss.
Sure.
And I only got one licking from him. Don't remember what I'd done, but he paddled me with a stove shovel. Wood-burning stove, always had a shovel there to shovel the fire around, and I always remembered that. But I was probably only five, something like that, four or five maybe. Probably deserved it many times.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I'm the last of 12 children that they bore. There's four girls and eight boys.
Wow. Do you think you look more like your mother or father?
Probably my mother.
Okay. How would you describe yourself as a child? Were you happy?
Yes, I was happy.
Good.
I was quite happy. Even after the rest of the boys had left home, left me with all the work to do, I was still happy. And that only occurred about a couple of years. I'd run it probably 2 years or close to it by myself.
Did you have a nickname?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Bill. Always known as Bill.
Okay. Who were your best friends growing up?
Now or
well,
back then?
Growing up back then.
Gene Diarmond, he was in my class. Everett Barker was in my class. They were probably my closest friends.
Okay. What did you think your life would be like when you were older? What did you think as a child your life would be like later on?
I thought it would take a lot of effort. It would take hard work to anywhere near survive, if you want to call it survive.
Yes. Do you have any favorite stories from your childhood?
Well, we'll get into that detail later, I imagine, but we moved from Willow Springs up to Seymour, and we moved in a cattle car on the railroad, and my father told Pete and Lars, they took the team and wagon and drove from Willow Springs on the road, and my father told them when they got there that the door on this cattle car was hard to manipulate, hard to open. So he said you might have to use some perseverance to get the thing open. Well, when they got back together at the farm and supper table, I suppose, my dad asked him, said, "What did?" Asked Peter, and Lawrence said, "Did you have any trouble getting the door open?" And they said, "No." So we went to the hardware store and drugstore to see if we could find some perseverance. Couldn't find any. So they hooked the team and wagon to it and pulled it open.
Okay. The drugstore didn't have any perseverance. How did you meet your wife?
We were both working at Lake City Arsenal. It's an ammunition manufacturing plant out east of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working there before she came. I was working in the packing department and with the case, ammunition cases, labeling them, that kind of thing. And she hired in, and lo and behold, she landed in a packaging group where there's actually the table is full of base cartridges all finished, brass and all.
Mm-hmm.
And they were picking those cartridges up and putting them in their cases that were ready for men in the field to use later on. And there was a fountain, hot water fountain, near her desk or her table or so. And the my boss said, "That's the thirstiest guy I ever saw in my life." He went over that marking, that water fountain, five times in the morning, five times in the afternoon. So that's where we met.
And how did you know she was the one?
Well, I didn't know it until we had dated several times, and she was a real right kind of person. She knew the Lord and was interested in lots of things. She played the piano, and she bowled. Just a nice person.
Yes.
Plus she was pretty, had pretty hair.
Yeah. How did you propose to her?
Well, I bought a ring, and on a leave from the Navy, I brought the ring home and gave her the ring. While I was through the training program, you couldn't marry in the Navy training, pilot training program until you had your wings.
Yes. And what advice do you have for young couples today?
They've got to be forgiving.
Yes.
Be forgiving.
Do you have any favorite stories from your marriage about her?
I don't know of any right now. I'll probably think of some later, but I don't
okay.
have any right now.
And her name was June.
Yes.
And what did you do for a living? Now, I understand that you can't go into much detail about what you did for energy department.
What did I do for a living? I worked for what was Bendix to start with, and then it later turned into another name or two, and
yes. How long did you work at Lake City?
About 2 years.
Okay.
The reason it took so long, see, that was the war was going on. The day I went to work there was the war between us and Germany started. So, to back up just a little bit, when I left the farm, the reason for leaving the farm is my father told me one morning, says, "Hey, would you like to go to Kansas City and go to a training school for aircraft mechanics?" I said, "Sure." So at this school, the Navy knew a lot of young men there. They're putting out their story about the Navy Air Force. They were looking for people to sign up to join the Air Force, Navy Air Force. And had pictures flying, those little yellow peros and all that. It was pretty good propaganda. But they did such a good job on it, they got a whole bunch of young men to go through training, but they just didn't have enough facilities to train that many, so a lot of us had to wait. That's why more or less 2 years later, a lot of people had been in the service.
Yes. And what kind of vacations did you take as a family? I had asked you that a minute ago, but we weren't recording, and now we're recording. Mm-hmm.
Most of our vacations were centered around family.
Yes.
June had a sister, and she and her husband lived in Larned, Kansas. And so we spent quite a few vacations out that way. I had a brother that lived kind of on the way out there, and he lived near Wichita. So we go by there sometimes.
Okay. And did you ever go on a cruise with June?
Yes. Yes, we went on one cruise down in the South Atlantic, I guess you'd call it, in the Caribbean area.
Yes. Can you tell me about your religious and spiritual beliefs? What is your religion?
Yeah. Yes. I believe in the resurrection and life after death of Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And have you experienced any miracles?
Not that I know of, probably have.
Okay.
Speaking of miracles, didn't have anything to do with religion, but did I tell you about moving from Willow Springs to Seymour?
Willow Springs to Seymour?
Yeah. We didn't record that, did we?
Well, I think so. You said you traveled by boxcar.
Yeah.
On train.
But it was actually a cattle car.
Cattle car, yes.
But the coordination of that thing, that move, was, it might be called a miracle. It was had to move from one farmstead to another one, had to have all the things that went with one house to the other house 50 miles away. And the thing with wood stoves, two wood stoves, a heating stove and a cooking stove, furniture and bedding for six beds, plus other dining room and furniture and kitchen furniture, and a little bit of room for living room furniture, and getting all that from the farm to the siding where the cattle car was stationed.
Yeah.
Loaded up and loaded all the stuff that we needed. We had cows, took probably four milk cows and their calves.
In the cattle car?
In the cattle car.
Okay.
My brother Lewis rode in the cattle car, took care of them, feeding them and seeing if the chickens had stuff to eat. And they were had the chickens in the chicken coops, but they needed attention. And
quite an undertaking.
Quite an undertaking, yes. Yeah. Loading up, plus go there, and then all unload, reverse now.
Yes.
Got to unload the stuff.
When you got to Seymour area.
Seymour, yeah. Like I mentioned before, Lawrence and Pete, my older brothers, drove the wagon up and led Pete's pony, Topsy, behind the wagon. Instead of waiting on the cattle car, but they start the day early so they'd be there in time to help unload and take stuff out the farm when the train got there next day.
Yes. Wow.
And that all this moving and onto the car and off again, keeping everybody fed. There was no McDonald's. You had to provide your own. So just how my mother handled all that, I don't know. I was just a kid.
Quite an undertaking.
Yes.
About 50 miles in a cattle car, including the cattle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the one end of the car was, of course, machinery, farm machinery. And
okay.
The other end was the cattle. Was, they probably had some kind of a divider, so the, maybe my brother Lewis had to be the divider, I don't know. But they had to haul, get there with hay and grain for the cattle. When you get there, the barn's empty. Nobody's lived there for a while.
Yes. And what's your ethnic background?
Roughneck?
Ethnic.
Ethnic. Well, basically Irish, at least my name reflects that.
Right.
But I don't know what. I think Irishmen usually back then were considered. They were some kind of second class citizen when I was a young kid.
Too often, yes.
Yeah. But it didn't bother me. Don't forget, we didn't. We went right ahead about it.
Okay. And you were in the military?
Yes, the Navy.
The Navy?
Yes.
And you joined in 1941?
Yes, sir.
But you weren't called up for a while?
Yeah. 43. Spring 43.
Yes. And that's because they didn't have enough people to train.
That's right.
All of the recruits that were coming in.
Yes.
Okay. How did the war change you? Did you see active duty?
No. Not. Okay. Not. Were they shooting at you and that kind of thing? No. I spent the most of my time in the Navy as a flight instructor. Training new recruits coming through.
Okay.
Somebody had to stay behind to do that.
Sure. And you you used your Navy service to get a GI Bill.
Yes, sir.
And you went to college.
Yes, I did.
And you became a mechanical engineer.
That's right. Yeah. When I got out of the Navy, they gave you opportunity to spend one more year if you wanted to. So I chose to do that because I didn't know what I was going to do.
Right.
So at the end of that year, by the way, I didn't mention one of the good things about joining the Navy is they told you we'll give you $500 for every year as a bonus. Well, they told us that when you signed up. That's why they got lots of people, lots of young men. But when I got out of the Navy, came home and visited with friends and relations for a couple of weeks. Then we went down to Rolla, Missouri, to check out the school. That's where I wanted to go, but check and see what needs to be done.
Yes.
Well, when we got there, there was no place for married people to stay. A lot of married couples did not go to school, but there's no place to stay. So we got acquainted with a real estate man a little bit, decided we'd buy a lot, build our own house. We just couldn't even find a chicken coop to live in. So that worked out very well for us. And we had a house where we could move into it in about a month. It worked out very well for us. Had a big room, there was the living room and dining area, and had a bedroom separate. And the other quarter of the space was taken by the kitchen and the bathroom and closet.
Yes. And that's the house, you said it was about 20 by 20?
Yes.
And it's at 1804 Olive.
Yes.
In Rolla.
In Rolla, yeah. I think it's still there. I don't know for sure. I've been down that way, but then someone added something to it.
Yeah. And you went to the Mines and Metallurgy College?
Yeah, that was it. The School of Mines and Metallurgy. That was the school that Rolla. It wasn't S&T. Like it is now.
Yes, science. Now it's a College of Science and Technology.
Yeah. And, it had two or three different names over the years.
Yes. And you had one son.
Yes, that's our family.
And what is his name?
His name is Ronald. Ronald Gene Kelly.
Okay. And he and his wife have three children?
Yes.
David, Deborah, and Timothy?
Yes.
And it's time to talk about your very interesting hobby.
Oh, you're talking about old cars.
Old cars.
Model Ts.
Yes.
Model T Fords.
It's a unique hobby.
Yeah, people ask, how did you get so interested in these Model T Fords? And I said, well, our first car, first family car, was a 1922 touring car. And I was always fascinated with it, I guess, because we'd drive older brothers. They drove the car. My dad never learned how to drive a Model T. They're a little different. But I remember coming home from town at nighttime in that Model T and crossing the creek. Well, then release the power, but have the motor running to speed up so that they get enough lights out of the magneto lights to see the creek so that you didn't drop off the deep end.
Yes.
So little things like that kind of tempered. I thought it was interesting anyway.
Sure.
And when I got to be a teenager, I followed through on that in that I bought my first car. It was a Model T. I paid $5 for it and drove it home.
What a deal. And what year was that? I mean, what model year was it?
It was a 26T.
Yeah.
So, after I worked at what was then Bendix for a couple of years, one of the guys out there brought in a magazine that was about Model T's.
Mm-hmm.
Club, Model T Club. Model T Ford Club International is the name. We belong to a local chapter here, the Chuggers, Kansas City Chuggers. And with those thing in mind, I didn't think about people, other people enjoying Model T's like I did. But I soon found out a lot of people enjoy that.
Sure.
So we now have four Model T's and one Model A. We got a 1912 touring car and a 15 runabout, a 24 runabout. What else? I guess 26 touring. And have a Model A too, but that doesn't count. It's a different. It's a later car.
Yes.
1928 Ford Coupe.
Okay. What kind of music do you like to hear?
Probably the best is gospel music. Mainly quartets.
Yeah.
Men's quartet or mixed quartet. Bill Gaither stuff.
Oh, yeah. What kind of music did June like to hear?
She enjoyed playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. She liked the bands.
Yeah. Maybe show tunes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And she passed away a few years back.
Yeah, she passed away in December 22nd of 19, about 2.5 years ago, something like that.
Yes.
Just shortly after our 75th wedding anniversary.
And I'm sure there's a hole in your heart. Miss her.
Yes.
Can you think of anything we missed out on?
That pretty much completes the story, I believe. I don't know anything else.
Okay.
I enjoyed singing. Hearing other people sing and other quartets, and we had a quartet when I was in high school, and a mixed quartet, and people guess heard about us because there was a meeting going on. I guess what they'd call a revival meeting going on in a neighboring town. And so they had invited us to come over and sing. And, as a result of that was my realization and actually taking the Lord as seriously as I should.
Okay.
And in the Model T Ford Club, had a men's quartet there. Four Pistons was the name of the cup.
Okay. Four Pistons.
Yeah.
Was a Model T a four-cylinder engine?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The Four Pistons. Can you think of anything else? This has been fun. Enlightening.
I don't believe so. Timothy, I think we covered pretty well.
Okay.